Be in the book of Judges, chapter number 14. And if the Lord will help me preach, and I have a church that will help me, I want to preach my heart here. So glad for everyone that's here. So glad to have Brother and Sister Gravett's son and family and grandchildren, and glad to have Sister Brenda's brother and his wife from Savannah here with us. And all of you home folks, so glad you're here. But I want the honored guest to be the Son of God. Amen. Pray for my voice. Need God to help me. Judges chapter number 14. Did I say Genesis to start with? Judges chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath, the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have found a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there neither a woman among the daughter of the brethren or among my people that thou goest and take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. I want you to turn over in the same book, chapter 16. And God will help me. Judges chapter 16, verse 21. Found your place, say amen. Amen. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with feathers of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. God to help me. I want to preach this morning on sin's awful stain. Sin's awful stain. Would you lift your hands toward heaven one more time? Ask the Lord to help us, Father. In the name of Jesus, I come before you. I'm asking for the help of the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. Come to us, O God. Help me, I pray, in the name of the Lord. The hand of God move in this service and give us an altar service that'll please you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's such a familiarity to the story of Samson. There's not a life in this building, there's not one individual in this house that has not heard from childhood to the phases of life that deals with the subject of the story of the hero who became a failure. We talk about the highlights of the life of Samson, a man of strength, a man of power, a man of promise, but a man who neglected his obligation. Samson, one man said, oftentimes reveals much of our lives. We live in promises, but we walk in carelessness. We live in a society where men hold within reach of their own hearts the very key to eternal life, the very promise to a new beginning. But while we carelessly pass up the choices of our life that we may gain the fun and the folly of life. You see, fun is not given cheap. There's a price to pay for every moment of sin. And I need God to help me here. The story of Samson was then as it is of now. It is likened unto men and women who trod upon this earth, who look at life that begins with such a promising end, but falls short because of the transgression and because of sin. Can I tell you, in this building, maybe a little different this morning, a little tighter for me, but can I tell you, sin often cuts men's life short. Sin often destroys the lives of men and women in this building and in our world in which we live today. There's not a life in this house. There's not a soul in this building who has not felt the effects of sin and the pressure and the power of sin. There's not one individual in this house, though redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, has a memory of yesterday's sin, yesterday's pain, yesterday's heartache. Some of the biggest battles that we face in our life is the remembrance of a failure or of a place in our life where we have allowed sin to have dominion over us. Come on here now. Sin, one man said, it is not a clean-handed individual. It's not a life or a man or a beast whose hands have not been marred and scarred by sin itself. Sin has such a bloody taunt to it that when it touches the life of men, it either mars and scars or destroys and kills and takes away everything man has ever hoped for. Amen. You look in the life of men and women that you know, and you look in the life of men and women that I know. Sin has marred our homes. It has made waywardness of our children. It has put our prison houses slap full. It has made men and women become creatures of habit of iniquity. It is only from one pleasure unto the next. It has driven men from light into darkness, and from darkness chased out of the world. Oh, that God would help us in our generation to pass down the words unto our little children. And sin is damnable. It'll kill your life. It'll mar your life. It'll stain your life. It'll shape your life into a place of misery. But I come to tell you, for every sin and every transgression, that there is a remedy and there is a cure for sin. It's red blood from Calvary. It's redeeming blood that's blown out of Emmanuel's veins. It is the power of all power. Man may stoop low into sin, but it's the blood that washes out the stain. Man may fall into debaucheries of sin, but it's God in His blood that lifts man from the pit unto the choir. Oh, hallelujah! Who is like Jesus? There is none like Him. Hallelujah. Failure happens long before we even admit. It sets in with a craving and a longing and a desire in our heart. Sin is such a terrible habit. Men try to break it, but they only bind themselves in deeper, stronger cords. Help me while I preach here. I've seen men, and God help my time to preach this out. I've been called, I don't know how many times, dealing with issues and dealing with families. I was called one time in Chicago, Illinois. I'll never forget it when I walked in to that insane asylum. A boy that I had preached to, a young man that I reached with all of my heart and begged with him and pleaded with him to get help. It seemed like for a little while he seemed to want to change, but somehow or another, Brother Rob, he slipped away from the grace. I know some of you don't believe it, but it's just a proven fact. If once in grace, always in grace, then I ask you, why is our streets turned into hell? And why is the divorce rate so high? And why is our family so corrupted? And why is the juvenile home slap full of sin and shame? It demeans the blood. It demeans the blood of Jesus. When you say once saved, always saved, it is a lie out of hell. For if any man sin, he is of the devil, because the devil sinneth from the beginning. I want to tell you about the blood. The blood washes out sin. The old song says, what can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Sin removes the blood, or the blood removes sin. Hallelujah. I watched one day when I was up in that area. My wife is a witness of this. I remember being in that city, and the call came. It said, so-and-so is in the cracked-up house. It said, they're asking, the family's asking, if you would come see him. Am I telling it right? Don't mean to bother anybody. But oh, I'll never forget when I walked into that place, Brother Rob. I walked into that home. It's big story. I don't know how many stories it was in the city of Chicago, that insane asylum. I remember when they took me in and patted me down. And I remember when I walked through the corridors and the doors began to lock and they began to shut behind me. I saw men sitting in chairs in straight jackets. Hey, listen to me. I want to preach what I feel. If sin is so luscious, how come the ending of it is so staining? If it is so wonderful, how come the end of it leaves such a bitter gall inside your mouth? I'll tell you something. Every bit of the sin of this country, from pornography to child molestation, help me while I preach, from the divorce and the remarriage and the backing up and turning away, from the cross and the blood, can I tell you, it leaves a pleasure at the beginning of it, but at the end of it, it's such a mar and such a shame and such a pain, no tongue can tell. One man said, sin knows how to paint the canvas with bright colors, but sin itself has lost the ability to find a paint to paint how bad sin really is. Come on, help me preach. The billboards that are painted tell of the pleasure, but behind every one of them pleasures, no pen, no paintbrush, no artist, no scholar has been able to repaint and say, after you drink this, after you take that, after you download this, oh, come on, help me while I preach. You ain't gonna help me, but I feel the Holy Ghost in this building. Last night I laid in my bed. I rolled over at 3 something this morning and told my wife, I'm wide awake. I can't sleep. I tell you what's known in me. It is the demoting of sin's payment. We call it a mistake, but it ain't a mistake. It's a mark. fire. It's a shame. It's a reproach. Hear me when I preach to you. It'll damn your soul. Not only in this world, but it'll put your soul in the hell. I would I had a church that would say, amen. I wish I had a people at one time that would stand up and fear the pain of sin. I read to you in your hearing, and I must hurry, the wanting of the pleasure and the wanting of it. But then I also read to you in your hearing the weeping of the pain. The wanting of the pleasure. She pleaseth me well. Come here. Wasn't it wonderful to get it? Wasn't it wonderful to have it? Come on now. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble preaching right here this morning. It started with just a small high, and now it's a lie at the doctor's office. Come here, Daddy. I want my daddy to help me preach today. Get him a chair. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want the King of Kings sit right here beside me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to do me a favor, and I don't mean to embarrass you. I want you to hold your hand up, if you will. I want you to notice, on his right hand, he has lost all fingers, half a palm. It's all gone. The mar of that machine that took it away. You can put it down. I remember one time riding down the road, Brother Billy, with my father. And I remember him telling me, we were talking about how things are in our world and how people imagine things in their mind. Man, I feel like preaching now. You can sit there and look at me if you want to. He said, you know, I'll never forget it. He said, you see that right there? There. He said, every bit of that is cut clean off. He said, I don't have no fingers. He said, I have no thumb. Half of my palm is gone. It was taken away from me. Hear me while I preach. He said, but yet, somehow or another in my mind, oh, I feel the preacher here. He said, somehow or another in my mind, he said, it makes me think that my fingers are still out there. He said, sometimes they hurt. And he said, it's almost like the left hand I can reach out there. He said, in my mind, he said, them nerves that are drawn up. Help me while I preach right here. Hear me. He said, it feels like if I could just get in there. Oh, hallelujah. And he said, untangle them. He said, it brings some relief. Can I tell you, that's the way sin is. It ties you up. It messes you up. Come on here now. It messes up your life. It destroys your character. It ruins your future. It brings shame and disgrace. But I come to tell you, I know a man by the name of Jesus Christ who can untangle the knot, who can do away with the pain and do away with the shame. As somebody say, his name is Jesus. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Hey. Sin tied me up. Sin messed me up. Sin cursed my life. It turned it in the wrong direction. And now I live with the pain and the hurt. But can I tell you that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today forever, and he changes not. He has untied more men and set more women free by the power of his blood. And he knows how to do the same for you. Hallelujah. It is said that addiction is some of the most horrible habits to have. I want you to stare at me. I sat and talked to a man. Won't you listen to me? I sat and talked to a man. He's my uncle. You know him. He prayed during our camp meeting. His name was Glenn. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was just the other day. I was up in North Alabama preaching a meeting. He was sitting at the same table I was sitting at. And we were talking. He said giving up drinking was one thing. He said and doing these things. He looked at me. Was you in there, baby, when he said it? He said, but when I went to give up my cigarettes, he said it was the hardest thing I ever done in my life. Come on, help me while I preach. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I feel the helper jumped on my shoulder right now. There's some of you in this building. Smoking ain't your problem. That's not what your condition is. But you're so tied up and wrapped up on it until you don't know how to get free from it. It drives you back to the passion. I've got to have it. It pleases me. Oh, I wish I could preach. I wish somebody would be concerned to pray for a preacher while he reaches for men's souls. Oh, good God, I'm pleading with you. Don't go to hell over the stain of sin. What old preacher said, hell is reaching, hell is pulling while I'm preaching, hell is reaching while I'm stretching, hell is pulling for your soul to take it down to hell forever. But there is a greater pull beyond all pulls. It was a resurrected out of a tomb, and his name is Jesus. Anybody in this building saved? Say amen. Anybody in this building know the name? Say it out loud. Come on. Say it again. At the power of that name, addictions have to flee. At the power of that name, saying hello, the stain of sin must be reproached and backed out. At the power of that name, it makes the earth quake, heavens tremble, the air is suspended. The name of Jesus, it is the remedy for every failure. It's the remedy for every shame. It's the remedy for every coming home. I walked into that insane asylum. I saw men in straight jackets. And they wasn't there all together, Brother Brent, because their mind was bad. They were there because they were, some of them, so addicted that they would hurt themselves. Whew. Hallelujah. Maybe a little tight to preach this right here. You may not be wanting to hear it. But until you can recognize what sin has done, there is no remedy. Not for you to see. For every sinner that must pray to get out of the shame of his sin, he must reckon with the fact there ain't but one cure for sin. Only one cure. It ain't mama's religion. Help me while I preach. It ain't daddy's religion. It ain't the church's religion. It ain't what grandma believes in. It's what I found at Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. What is it about Jesus? I keep coming back to this. What is it about him? I'll tell you what it is. When you get to looking at him and you get to looking at yourself, you too, like Samson, admit I wanted it. I got it, but it wasn't what I wanted. What soon pleased him so well made him spend endless nights of weeping. What he wanted so well and thought it was so great has now hung his head in such a shame. Are you listening to me? I hate it when the devil tries to creep in. But you know what he does? He wants to make you think you ain't got to pay attention. It'll work out by itself. I want to tell you something. If sin will work out by itself, we wouldn't have need the cross. Come on, fasten your eyes this way. That's the reason everything works out. You didn't hear what I said. That's the reason everything works out. Before the blood and before the cross, it was shame and a reproach. I said it Friday night. I'm going to say it again. Sin's law leaves a period, but it is the grace of God. God hung the comma upon the old ragged cross and said, the thief come but for to kill and to steal. He said, but I come that she might have life and have it. Have it more abundantly. I want you to come to the piano. While sin laid its awful scar, its shame and reproach upon the life of Samson, it caused him to weep for the pleasure. And I don't mean to hold you up here. But there's some of you. Stay with me. There's some of you in this building. You think a pill bottle is going to fix what ain't out there. But what's in here? I've heard people tell me, you don't understand my pain. You don't understand. You look in this little fat face of mine. God laid at death's door twice. I've never took medication in my life, hardly at all. But an old one, when I had that blood clot in my lung, that doctor looked at me and he said, you should be a dead man. He said, we didn't do anything to save you. God, kill me if I lie to you. His words were, there's a higher power than me that wants you to live. Am I telling it right, baby? He put me on stuff, and I'm not going into the detail, but it formed such a massive hematoma in my leg, I couldn't walk. I was in bad shape. 3 months or better of my life went by, and I hardly knew anything about it. And I don't mean to be on this, but I tell you right now, if I was a drug addict and got free, I'd waller in the bed and pray till pain left my body before I let sin put a noose around my neck again. Hallelujah. I'll never forget it. all at one time. I don't know why I feel like telling this. I've only told this just a few times. I was taking MS Cotton. I was on Darajesic patches. They were shooting me in my arm, laying in that hospital bed every 2 hours with a dose of Dilaudid. Every 2 hours, whether I asked for it or not, it was a part of the antidote. I sat there, Brother Neil, and I'm telling you, God knows my heart. I'd wake up long enough to realize they were messing with my IV. And it's about time that stuff hit my vein. That girl right there will tell you, she sat 3 weeks in a straight back chair beside my bed, holding my hand while I laid at death's door. That's the difference in finding a wife and just finding somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And if I live to be an old man, crippled on a cane or a walker, I'll never forget that as long as I live. Hallelujah. But she'd wake, I'd wake up, Brother Rob, just to see it go in. And just as it went in, I just went right back out. My days just spent and turned. When finally they, after 3 or 4 weeks in the hospital, they deemed I was going to make it. They let me out to go home. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost preaches. They let me out to go home. And this is the trickery of sin. It says, I'm not addicted. I just got a habit. The whole time that doctor, I was telling him, I don't want to be addicted. I don't want to be addicted. And they kept telling me, you can't get addicted. Well, you look in this little fat face of mine. They lied to you. You just found you a legal dope pusher. And he's made a dope buyer out of you. Say amen, somebody. I mean, you can reach over and pick up anything you like. But then when you walk in his office, you can do whatever you want, twist and turn, do whatever you like. But when you walk into his office, it's almost like you can't even hardly move. The old skeleton's going to break to pieces. It's the habit of sin. It's the habit of sin. Hey. Hallelujah. To make a long story short, I'll never forget it. I got too much to preach here on one morning, but I'll never forget. I got home, my baby will tell you. My days and nights got twisted. I didn't know exactly how to live. I'd stay awake all night long. And couldn't sleep. But when the morning came, seemed like I'd doze off and I'd sleep for a few hours, but I'd wake up so tormented, so aggravated. I didn't know what was taking place in my life. But I'll never forget one morning. God stand by me while I preach this. I'll never forget one morning. I was in such turmoil. I'd spent the night in agony. I called a preacher friend of mine, and he picked up the phone, and I began to tell him about my dilemma, and he said, we've heard all the way up here. He said, we're going to pray for you right now. I'll never forget. He began to pray. Somewhere in the course of that praying, in the middle of the day, I felt a sleepy spirit get a hold of me. I fell off to sleep. I woke up, and when I woke up, I looked at my wife and I said, I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat. You know the Ho-cha-ta-ba-ba-hi. You know, sir, you ain't eating because sin's fat is satisfying you. You know why you're tormented at night? Because sin is haunting you. You know why you're restless with everything and everybody? And you know why your life's in turmoil? Because sin is pushing you. notice, if you will, is our hurry. Samson taught the solation of the scripture, verse 1, verse 2. It was his mother and father and mother and father, father and mother. But when he reached the peak of his pleasure, the Bible said he turned to his father and he said, "Father, get her for me." And he turned and got her. But then, just a few chapters over, what she done to him was such a horrible stain. Are you listening to me in this house? I could preach a lot faster. I could throw in a whole lot more notes about the situation. But I feel like God dealt with me this morning. And I need to tell somebody. I want you to notice the story of Samson. These are things that God gave me as I was praying about this meeting. I wrote them down as God began to deal with me, just common knowledge. The story of Samson, it tells of a power and of a weakness. It tells of a pleasure and a payment. It tells of a hurt and a humiliation. It tells of a regret and a remorse. It tells of a warning and then a weeping. It tells of sin and then it tells of its stain. But on the flip side of it all, while sin left a bitter, ugly stain, I want you to notice what praying will do for you. It also tells of repentance and redemption, hopelessness to hope, from shame to a Savior, from battles lost to war won, from lost fellowship to regaining friendship with a Heavenly Father, from shame to sunshine, from disgrace to everlasting delivering grace. Hallelujah. What are you trying to say, preacher? I want to tell you, sin may have marred it. Heaven come to rectify it. Heaven come to do away with it. Sin may have came to trod in your name in the dirt forever. But I want to tell you about a name that's above every name. His name is Jesus. It is something and so powerful and so mighty and holy. It'll take the disgrace out of your name and put His name in the place that when hell comes a looking, grace answers the door, mercy intervenes, and God says, "Redemption is made." My wife comes to get ready to sing. You say, "Preacher, the preaching." Look at me, please, from the back to the front. You say, "The preaching's too loud." You say, "The preaching's too long." Can I ask you a question? When sin gets done with you, and it has its way, it mars your name. It mars your face. When sin is finished with your life, an hour's worth of preaching, a pulling at an altar service will only seem like seconds compared to the pain. That sin is going to leave a stain in your life. Don't you stare at me. And I want every able body that can, that wants to, stand to your feet all over this house for this altar call. There was a day when, hear me please, when our preachers preached with passion for men. Brother Corey told Friday night about the beginning of Jonathan Edwards, when he told about his passion for redemption and the power of sanctification and justification through the Word of God. I want you to listen to me. If you ain't never read the story, you've never read the sermon, I challenge you to get it and read it. It's called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. They said that men were so crooked in their deeds. Their business deals were so wrong because their life was so stained. But when Jonathan began to preach and tell about the coming judgment for every transgression, for every sin and every iniquity, said men felt such a fear and a shame of their sin. Listen to me. Until they grabbed the pillars of the building because of the vehementness of the preacher's passion to reach men's souls, it was almost like somebody opened the floor and turned loose the flames of hell as though they were reaching up. You know what's wrong with our Pentecostal churches? There's not enough hell preached on to make us fear it. Sin's not mentioned often enough in the payment of sin to make us want to stay away from the stain of sin. Until now, we'd rather just have a preacher tell us about Goldilocks. Tell us about the seven dwarfs, the three big bears, and a little bad wolf. I'm going to tell you something, you little pastime stories of the little bad wolf will seem like a walk among the dandelions when sin comes walking to make payment for pleasure. I've asked God, Daddy, I'm fixing to be 50 years old. I've asked God, according to life's clock, I've got 20 years if that clock works right. And pre-adventure by grace and mercy, I may have a little longer. But according to the clock, I've got 20 years left, Alvin. How close are some of y'all? Or how far over are some of y'all already? And I've asked God, make me more vehement against sin. Against the stain of sin. Whether in the church, out of the church. The sin of the saints or the sin of the sinner. Are you listening to me? I've asked God, help me convey to men that what the court may let by here, the high court ain't gonna let go up yonder. Look at this. Look at me. And I'm hurrying to a close. I was called one day to go to the courthouse with a family. And this person was charged with doing things to prescriptions that should not have been done. I stood there and I listened. I don't care what anybody says. I stood there and I listened as that lawyer went to bat and lied for her. I sat there in that courtroom, my heart heavy, my soul aching inside of me. I sat there, Daddy, and I screamed in my heart. I wanted to stand up and holler, that ain't true! That's what I wanted to do. But when it was all said and done and dismissed, I walked out. I stepped outside with her and the rest of them that was with them and the lawyer. I knew the lawyer personally. He turned around and walked off. I looked at that young lady. I said, you know the story, and I know the story. And I said, you may get by here, but you ain't getting by up yonder. And I've come to preach to somebody in this building. Every sin carries a payment. But while sin leaves its bitter stain, the cross of Jesus Christ, blood wasn't spilled just for the symbolic that life had left, but it formed such a red river that's flowed through the ages. And I want every ear in this building to hear me. She gets ready to sing. I challenge you to pay attention in the name of Jesus. I read this story. Norman Vince Peale said, one day while walking through the streets of Hong Kong, China, he said, I came to a tattoo parlor. And he said, in the window were displayed samples of tattoos available on the chest, on the arm. You can have an anchor, a flag, a mermaid. Whatever your choice was, it was yours. But the one thing that struck me the most, he said, was when I saw, hear me? He said, when I saw the flesh of a man in a picture that had three words tattooed up on his chest, I looked at it. And the words were born to lose. He said, I entered the shop and asked for the manager, astonished, and pointing at the sign saying, sir, does anybody really get that tattooed on their body? He looked at the man, and the owner of the tattoo parlor looked at him and said, yes. He asked the question. He said, what is, out of the thousands of tattoos, he said, what is the number one tattoo? He said, that's it right there. Born to lose. He said, I hung my head in such shame. My heart ached inside of me. How could a man with such of the redemption and of the grace of God that could be given to him adopt the saying, born to lose, when Calvary came that you could be born to win? He said, I stood there in amazement. And I said to the store owner, I just can't believe. Listen to me, this is the closing line. He said, I just can't believe anyone in their right mind would do that. The little Chinese man in his broken English simply began to tap on his own forehead. And in broken English, these were the words. He said, before tattooed body, he said, tattooed on mind. I've come to preach to you. Hell may have tattooed your mind. He said, you was born to lose. Right, here's where I'm at. Failure's not final. It's not the end of the street. I preach to you on sin stain, but I'm going to tell you about the grace of God that removes sin stain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen in this house. I know it's on your feet. Give me a minute. Let me reach for somebody in this building. I read to you where they put his eyes out. I read to you where they told about the pain. And the Bible said, and he began to grind in the prison house right here.
Yes.
But I want to tell you what the next verse said. The next verse said, how be it, his hair began to grow. Woo! You know what it was? It was tattooed by sin. Born to lose. Born to lose. But that next verse started out, how be it, his hair begin to grow. You know what that word howbeit means? Nevertheless, regardless where you've been, regardless what you've done, there is a grace moment that God said, I can remove the stain. I can remove the shame. I feel like preaching to somebody. This is your hour. This is your time, Samson. You can find redemption. You can find forgiveness. While sin begin its greatest work in destroying Samson's life, the grace of God ended it up with a winner on the other side of failure. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you right now. I'm asking God you to arrest this congregation, every soul that's in this building, every lost man, every lost woman, regardless how much hell is trying to fight. I pray, God, that you find that moment right now that's in every man's soul, that's in every man's life. Help them to reach out for that one only hope, and that's your only begotten Son. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. You're in this house. Whatever heads bowed, every eye closed. You say, preacher, I too, like Samson, found pleasure that made me happy. Oh, but today, my pleasure has made my heart heavy. Sing it, honey. Did you hear it? He's waiting patiently. He's saying, sir, ma'am, backslider, cold and indifferent, the stain may be there, but I shed my blood to remove your stain. I want you to step out in the name of Jesus. I want you to come. You feel the Lord. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can or not. How can you not? How can you not? I have a praying church right here. I want you to hear what Samson said. He said, Lord, avenge me of mine eyes. And what he meant by that was, Lord, I got in trouble. And the very hindrance of my life is now put from me. And I can see better without them than I could with them. And I'm asking you to help me. And I'll tell you about God's goodness. He heard a poor man's cry. And in that cry, that poor man found a moment of redemption. Somehow or another, I can break my stubbornness, tear out of that pew, and run to this altar. I'd find a moment to say, God, my blindness is my fault. My reproach is my fault. I've come to no other remedy but yours. Waiting patiently in love. To find grace. He was there. And to find strength. In this hour. He won't say to God. There. You're here. He was there. needs to make a move quickly before sin takes you any further. That would say, God, that's the reason we pray, that we may reach man. I'm here to tell you in the name of Jesus, life's fixing to get a whole lot tougher if you don't start making moves toward Calvary. If you don't start making moves toward Calvary, this is my only hope. I want this church to lift their hands right now. In the name of Jesus.
I search for
it ain't gonna be easy.
Rainbows in.
It ain't gonna be easy.
Cause now I
come on, Terry.
Have Jesus.
Right there.
My life has started.
Hallelujah.
Again.
God, you know my need. You know the need of my family. Hallelujah. I've come to ask the blood to wash away every stain.
Fresh life.
I come to ask the blood to cleanse.
I've missed. He's been waiting.
Come on, saints of God.
Right there all the time.
Sisters, come over on this side today.
He was.
Some of you that can pray with me. Somehow or another, let's find a place.
The time.
This is the moment we must reckon with God.
He was there.
God, send a message to this church. A message to these people. Search yourselves. Weep for the souls of men that are perishing. Come on now. Now, today, God. Not tomorrow, but today I consecrate my life to you.